I'm excited to introduce Zane Perkins to you. It's really neat to see his Sunset blood runs deep. And so he graduated in '99, has been working in Santiago for 17 years, and is now working at Sunset. And so I'm excited to hear from Zane and to see that there's even more work. Again, I just wanted to let you know in this moment, thank you for your support and the openness of your hearts to make these missions happen and so many more. Thank you for your support. Zane, come and preach the word to us, brother.
Coming to you this morning, I come with a little bit of mixed emotions because I've been associated with this church since I was 14 years old. You guys were part of the team that my parents went on to Columbia. You've been with us since we started at Sunset. You've been with us for the 17 years we were in Santiago. And now we're back stateside, and it's such a wonderful feeling to know that you continue doing what God has always called you to do, to share and preaching of the gospel and sending missionaries and loving missionaries and supporting missionaries. And it's great to see that you've got a Sunset graduate. Our new role at Sunset, maybe that gives me hope that we can still be connected for years to come. But I come to you today because we have transitioned, or in transition. And the church in Santiago and we as recipients of your blessings come to give you thanks. We come to give you thanks because of what God has done through you. And I have two things that I will leave with the elders and the missions committee. And one of those is a plaque that expresses our gratitude for what you've done just in the 17 years in Chile. The churches there send their greetings and send their love and want you to know that they appreciate the work that you did through us and the work God has done through us. And so I'll leave this as just a thanks and honor to the Leander Church of Christ. But at the same time, we have some dear friends in Santiago, and I'm not going to have time to read it. We have some dear friends, and maybe next week it can be published in the bulletin or something like that. But we have some dear friends in Santiago. When they found out that we were coming to say thank you to the churches that supported us, said, can we write a letter? And so we bring just a simple letter from some of our dear friends, members of the church in Santiago, that they share their greatest appreciation for you and the work that you've done. Because they know that today there is a work and a ministry that is reaching out, not only in Santiago, but in Africa and other places because of generous people stateside. And so Pablo and Carol Peña and their two girls write you a letter thanking you for the blessing that you gave them, even being so far away. So I bring these thanksgiving to you, and I do want to tell you just a little bit about the church. I'm going to set these right here. But I do want to tell you a little bit about the work that was in Santiago. I had pictures, and I thought I'm going to put them on the pen drive, but they're not, so we'll have to imagine. Okay? So as you look through and scroll through all Matona's, just imagine mine are up here, okay? So we'll do that. But the church in Santiago is a work that was a phenomenal work while we were there and will continue for many years to come. A church that was planted in a middle upper class area of Santiago. The church at its height was about 120. Now they're down around 80 to 85 to 100 because of different transitional issues. The church had about 17 years with missionary presence, and now they're completely on their own, a completely Chilean-led church. They're undergoing and they're striving to live out God's plan for them. As they had two elders one of who had to back down as being an elder because he got transferred into a new job, and then he was traveling all the time. And the other elder, as of February, was diagnosed with terminal cancer. So as a church, they're in this state of flux again, but striving to do what God wants them to do in appointing men to lead them in their congregation. But they're also trying to reach out. They have a full-time minister. They are completely self-supporting, self-sustaining church through their own offerings and the members there. And not only that, they caught the dream, because they are also now helping a small church plant just outside of Santiago. So we thank you for what God has done in their lives because of your generosity. But I want to tell you about one guy. And actually, as I think back at the picture I had, I think the picture was taken when Adam and Vinny came to see us. I have to look back at see. But it was a picture taken when we did a homeless. You remember going to feed the homeless? Okay. That picture was taken when you guys were with us and we were feeding the homeless. And I just wanted to show you, because the guy I want to tell you about, his name is Carlitos. And Carlitos is a young man, now he's about 26, 27 years of age. But he has a very unique story. And his story is that at age 4, he was abandoned on the streets of Santiago by his mother. His mother fell in love with an Italian and decided that her life was better off with him. And so she was going to move to Italy. So she brought her son to the main streets of downtown Santiago and just left him, and she went to Italy. And after that, you know, he spent from age 5 to age about 23 living on the streets of Santiago. And you just can't imagine what a kid who grows up on the streets of Santiago has gone through. The suffering, the pain, the being beaten, and the drugs and the alcohol and the mistrust and the anger that has built up in him over the years. And so the first time I met him was in about 2014, and that was around the time Adam and them were there, but I had already met him by then. And the first few times I met him, he would not even greet me. He was so angry, and he was so mistrusting. But as we persisted in that relationship, I want you to know that yesterday I talked to him, and he is studying the Bible because he wants to minister to the youth of the congregation. Not to become a Christian, because he became a Christian 3 or 4 years ago. But now he is in a position where he is ready, because of what God has done in his life, to put off the anger and put off the difficulty and put off all the wounds that he had been caused to have by his family. He's ready to take up his role to serve and bless others in the kingdom. And I want you to meet him, because I believe in our biblical record, there's another young man who did the same thing. You know who King Hezekiah is, right? Read about him this morning. But I want to tell you about a young boy. There was a young boy, and if you go to 2 Kings chapter 16, there was a young boy who had a father who was also a king. And this king was an evil king. He was a man who was not a good person. As a matter of fact, he becomes to be one of the hated kings of Israel or Judah. And he was so bad, and he was such a negative influence. It says that he walked not in the ways of the Lord, but he walked in the ways of the kings of Israel, who were very bad kings. And in that process, it says he worshiped, and I'm in 2 Kings chapter 16, the first few verses. And he walked in the evil, and he sacrificed to idols. And there's one aspect in there that says, and he offered his son as an offering. And as he offered his son to an offering, I went and did some research, and this was to the god Chemosh. And Chemosh was a big god. He was a god that was a bronze statue that was an offering of their children to the god. And so the god held his arms out, and it was a hollow god, and they filled it full of fire. And when it would get to its max point of heat, it would turn the sun red or the sky red because of its glow. And the people who offered, they would bring their child, and they would take their child, and they would give their child to the priest. And this priest would place this naked child on the arms of this statue. Now imagine this statue is heated from its core until it's brazen hot. What happens when you lay a naked child on that? So the story goes, is that a record goes of how they offered it, and the child would begin to squirm and scream in this process because his skin is being burned off in that, and the child would fall from the arms into the fire below. And when he fell into the fire below, the pagan priest would reach down and pull this child out of the fire. And if the child died, it was a glory and praise to the god. But if the child lived, the child had to live as an abomination among the people. Chapter 18. And Hezekiah, son of Ahaz. Hezekiah was one of the greatest kings in the reformation of the people of Judah. And when he comes on the scene, we find this king ready to do whatever God needs him to do. But you can imagine, as he lifts up his arms and his tunic falls down, all you can see are the scars that he had had as a child. Most of us in our lives experience some sort of trauma. Most of us in our lives have had different reasons to have issues in our lives. And we do live in a world that so often, because of those traumas, there's so many people who live day to day with feelings of abandonment, feelings of conditional love, that they didn't feel loved by their parents because of the way their parents treated them. They feel in ways that they feel that they have this poor self-image because life has just beaten them down, just like Carlitos. Just like Hezekiah. But what we see in the life of Hezekiah is not a man who's carrying anger around with him. We see a man who's not destroyed by the abuse of his father. We see a man who's not plagued by poor self-image. We see a man who is powerful in the hands of God to be used in the kingdom. And we know that his restoration and restoring of the Jewish faith at that point was one of the greatest of all times. It says he took down the high places. He took down the places that people had their secret gods, and he pulled them back into God. So he took that away from him. He took away the worship to Baal, which was a worship of prostitution, and he brought people back into purity into the kingdom. And it took away even the statue that God had given them for their own salvation that became not the tool to save them, but it became their object of worship. And he tore it down to bring them back and focus them again on God. So he had a wonderful, wonderful restoration story. But my question is, how do we go from an abused child with scars that mark you for life to a man who can be a kingdom worker? And it's three simple things, and I'm done. Three simple things. If you read the story about Hezekiah, it says, that he walked down the path of the Lord. He spent time walking as though his God and his Lord would have walked. Carlitos, over the last 4 years, or about four years since he became a Christian, has done nothing than try to walk as Jesus walked here on the earth. He's tried to walk in a way that, as 1 John 2 says, that if we're disciples, we live as Christ lived. He's done everything in his power. Hezekiah did everything in his power to walk in the ways of the Lord. And if we will walk as God commands us to walk, in relinquishing anger, providing forgiveness, blessing others, being thankful in what we have, God begins to take woundedness and heal it. The second one is that if you keep reading the story, it says in verse 5, and he trusted in the Lord, the God of Israel. So not only did Hezekiah, as a young man coming on before he was 25, because the way he lived before he became king was what made him who he was. And it says that he trusted in the Lord. He trusted in what God had done. He trusted that God was his fortress, as Psalm 18 says. He trusted that God would be his strength. He trusted that when he didn't understand and when he couldn't continue, God was faithful. He didn't trust in his own. Romans 8 says, what can separate us from the love of God? So as Hezekiah, Old Testament, Carlitos, a living example that I know, trusted God's faithfulness. There was nothing that could take him out of God's love. And he lived that walk, and he walked that walk, and he began to be healed in his wounds. And the last one, he held it faithful to the commandments of God. We see in Hezekiah that one of his distinguishing things is that he was faithful to God's commandments. And Carlitos has tried to do the same. So as God moves in us and as we're faithful to God, those fruits of the Spirit become to be so evident in our lives, in his life, in all of our lives, that God can take and move us to be. I come here today thanking you for the work you're doing and you will continue to do, and with confidence before God that this process will never end, because there are people who need to know. But we live in a society that people don't have any way to hear about God unless we speak. And unless we allow God to heal our wounds, to just make them where they're scars, we cannot be as effective in the kingdom. Because it's very hard to minister to the wounded being wounded yourself. But as you're healed, God allows you to heal or to reach out to the wounded. So you've been involved for many a years in the reaching out to the lost, to the wounded. I pray that God has allowed you personally to live and be healed so that you can be more effective like Hezekiah and like Carlitos and like Machona and like the others, because only God can allow us to be there. And God is calling us through the body of believers to stand firm in His Word, to be faithful to His, to let Him be faithful and to be obedient and walk His path, and He will do the rest. Because He is the force behind it all. So I pray that we become like Hezekiah, kind of like Carlitos. By all of us know someone. Because God can heal the wounds so that we can minister through our scars to the lost of this world. I don't know where you find yourself today. I don't know where you are in your walk. You may have those wounds still open. But I promise you, there are people and ministers and loving people who can help God heal you with those. If you need this congregation to do so, I know there are loving brethren here who are more than happy and more than willing to do so. But we're here to be God's tools in your healing so that you can be God's tools to someone else. If you need the prayers of this congregation, come as we stand and sing.